This is Alan Levine's presentation on Virtual Worlds, Promises and Pearls for the WA eLearning Showcase.
One apology. I understand I speak with an accent. Also, my voice in Tasmania. Somebody sneezed on me and I've been suffering ever since, but I will have enough voice to finish this presentation. I've been asked to speak to you this morning about virtual worlds, and it's probably a new topic for many of you. Does anybody really find a need for a second life in their busy lives already? Anybody? Does anybody have one? Okay. Virtual worlds are, they're a hot technology now. I have a lot to present here. And there's somewhat of an expression in America, especially the rural areas, about cramming about 20 pounds of pig manure in a 10-pound sack. I'm going to tell you a little bit. There's going to be a fair bit in my presentation about Second Life. Is anybody familiar with the virtual world Second Life? Oh, a good number. And actually, how many people have an account in there already? Oh, a good number. Excellent. So, very quickly, one of the obvious perils on the way here is to be part of this virtual world, you need a high-end computer. Probably something within the last 2 years. And even some of your newest computers don't have the right kind of video card to run this. More importantly, you need a broadband internet connection. You can't do this on dial-up. It's very miserable or it won't happen at all. So, and that's some of its limitations. Some of this will change, some of it will not. And just, you know, put that on your checklist of things to be advocating for if you think this sort of experience is important. I'll share with you the moment for me when it made sense. In July of 2006, NASA was going to send up the space shuttle. It was the first one in a long time after the disaster of the previous one. They had the live video. I could have watched it on television at home. I could have gone to NASA's website and I could have watched the video. But there is a place in Second Life called the International Space Flight Center. It's an amazing place. It has scale in the background. There are scale models of every single rocket and satellite that have ever been launched. These have all been built by volunteers, which is the beauty of Second Life. It is a world created by the people who inhabit it. It also has these fantastic educational exhibits with content that comes to you direct from NASA, all about, you know, the universe, the planets, the Earth, etc. They hold events like this. They invited people to say, hey, come to Spaceport Alpha, we'll all get together and we'll watch the space shuttle lift off. So I was there with my avatar. In Second Life, I am a dog. Don't laugh, but you can be whoever you want in Second Life. But I was there with 60 other people watching this together. Now again, I could have watched it by myself. I would have seen the rockets lift off. But what happened was, there was the anticipation of this event happening as the rockets, you know, were being fueled up and getting ready to go. We used chat to message back and forth what we think. So people were in the audience having this conversation. Right now I'm talking, you can't have a conversation among you. But we were doing this. And we were talking about, people were sharing their knowledge of rocket propulsion. They're sharing their memories of watching the Apollo rockets blast off. It was an exciting experience. And it was tenfold more exciting because you share it with other people. So more general, I'm going to try to be general about virtual worlds. And there's tons of definitions out there. I do like this one. This is by a gentleman named Bruce Damer, who was one of the real pioneers in virtual worlds, going way back to the old ones on the screen that were just text. And he's written a lot of books on virtual worlds and avatars. And it's important that it's a place that can be described by words. It need not be technology. So if you're worried about the broadband, there are other ways to do virtual worlds. But the important place is that it creates a place in the imagination. The mind is at work here. Yeah, the good graphics and the network and all the flying avatars and things help. But really what can make this compelling is what your mind can construct. And that you have this feeling of being inside there. And there's some other definitions, and I have all the URLs for these references on my website I'll give you. The fact, importantly, that you can be in a space with other people, which I already described. It's very graphical. It's three-dimensional. You fly around, you move, you change your view. I could, if I was in a virtual world, my avatar could be in a position, my camera, in the back of the room and be looking at myself. A little bit weird, but it works. It happens in real time or near real time. Things happen as they occur. Very interactive. Very key is that the world goes on when you're not there. When I log out and go home, Second Life is still happening. When I get out of my World of Warcraft activity, people are still out there doing their raids. It's part of a living, ongoing environment. And again, I just want to remind you that there is this mix between what we can construct in our minds and what we can do on the computer. So there's still room, even in a rich graphic environment like Second Life, to have a really compelling idea about what you want to do in that place. Don't just go there to sort of, well, look at the pretty buildings, or wow, there's a rocket. It's really about thinking about what are some interesting ways that I can interact in this space? What are some activities that I can have my learners do? What are ways that we can use role play, simulation, modeling at different scales? And we'll get to that. Come here about virtual worlds. Why is this so of interest now?
Digital native.
We're digital. I hate that expression. I hate that expression. I understand it, but I think it's bunk, okay? I know young people who can't stand and can't do this stuff. I know old people that'll blow your socks off with this stuff. So, does anybody here have teenagers at home? Do you watch what they do with this stuff? Young people are growing up, living, and communicating in a graphical, in a moving picture medium. We grew up with text and words. Their media is much richer. That's one thing. Computers are much more powerful. They can do a lot more than they used to do. We have these networks now where we can collaborate around the world. And like someone said, it's there, and we can actually do this stuff. I'm not saying virtual worlds for everybody, and the numbers are there to prove it. And this is from a site that stacks the number of people who play in, there's all kinds of acronyms, MMORPG, MMOG, multiplayer, multi-user online games. And in 1998, there was probably maybe a couple hundred thousand people total in all of these, about the population of East Timor. And then as you go over the years, you know, by 2000, maybe you had about the population of Switzerland participating in this space. This data is a little bit old, 2006, you're up to about 13 million. The numbers right now are probably, you know, coming up into the 18, maybe 20 million. You know, you're getting about the population of Australia who are actively participating in these virtual worlds. And Second Life is a small player in these. Biggest ones are some of the gaming ones. World of Warcraft. Does anybody play World of Warcraft? Okay, I don't, so you can tell I'm faking it, okay? I won't ask what server you're on, but I'll show some video that we'll have fun with. 8.5 million people go in there. World is a goal. You form teams, you build up your inventory, you go around and you pillage and plunder and you have war. But it also is a collaborative, and they have to communicate to do this. Habbo Hotel, has anybody seen that one? Huge in Finland, actually cartoons. But it's an amazingly social space. A lot of people use it. Club Penguin is a new one that's coming up. It's for kids. It's beautifully. It's one teaching kids how to. They have these avatars or representations that are little penguins. And they have little games they can do to earn penguin points so they can decorate their igloo. And they learn how to manipulate and participate in a virtual world. And quite a few more. So, Gartner Group, the people who put out all these predictions, 80% of active internet users are going to have a quote-unquote Second Life, not the game itself Second Life, but some sort of virtual world presence. By the end of 2011, 80% of people who use the web, they're saying, are going to be also active in a virtual world. I don't know if I believe that. That is a little bit far out there, but, you know, roll your time, you know, clock back 4 years, and the internet looked pretty crude back then. So Gartner saying that this is going to be big. The work that I do with the NMC and virtual worlds really has come out of the years of efforts in researching emerging technology. We've been identifying educational gaming as a horizon technology for a while. In 2006, first mentioned virtual worlds, and that's why we got into it in January of 2006. And we've been active in Second Life primarily, not because of our interest in Second Life, but because it was a virtual world that had a large active community where we could experiment and understand what this communication and collaborative experience could be like. We're looking at other virtual worlds, but in that time, we've done events, we've had speakers, we've done conferences, we've had performances by musicians, by acting troupes. We've had a live performance by the Cleveland Orchestra that was broadcast by video into three different places. We had keynotes. We had a conference last August. 150 people paid registration to do a full-week conference in Second Life, all about creativity. We've also branched out, and we do development work for educational organizations. So we do building and consulting, and we also have a program to rent out small little bits of land in Second Life. I'm not here to sell. Well, I am. I just want to tell you a little bit, because I don't have enough time to really talk about all this. What I want to do is show you an experience, because what is What good is a technology demo if you don't actually demonstrate anything? So I'm going to launch a Second Life. It's an application that runs on your desktop. It's not through the web. And I have a character. You create an account. It's free to create an account. So I'm going to log into Second Life. And hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers, running this over wireless. It should work okay. And it's connecting me to the world. There's a centralized place, well, a couple giant network farms. To keep up with the demand for Second Life interest, they have to add 120 servers a day. And the amount of electricity that they're using, that's a whole other presentation, probably equivalent to a small country. So that is me, and as I mentioned, I move my camera around. In Second Life, you choose your avatar appearance. You start as if you're male, you have a white t-shirt and rolled up jeans, and if you're a woman, I think you've got a purple t-shirt and rolled up jeans. You look pretty vanilla. A lot of things that you want to do when you get in there is to customize your appearance. It's not about vanity, but it's a statement of who you want to be in this world. And the whole dog thing is a different story. But I'm going to try to communicate with some friends of mine, and hopefully they're in here. So I'm going to send a message. So I can send IM messages. What I want to demonstrate to you is Desideria Stockton is actually a literature teacher in Pennsylvania. She does some amazing projects in Second Life. I'm going to ask her to send me a TP, which is not toilet paper, it's a teleport, so she can bring me to where she is. She hopefully will pick one of her projects that she works on, and she will send a message to teleport. And while I will zoom out here, and you can see I'm in this little corner of land. I've been in this for 2 years. I don't know how to build a darn thing. I can make square boxes. I deal more with people in Second Life, but I'm learning. So I've been learning how to shape the land, and some of the issues in Second Life, sometimes if you just randomly go to places, you can be like this. You'll be in the middle of nowhere. It's not very exciting on your own. So, this demo is really going good right now. Let's see who else is around. She sent me an invitation. I say yes. Now, Desi has a striking avatar. It may take a while of appearance. And you see everything is gray. It's actually called resing in. All the three things are rendering. Oh, we got two people here. So, there is the ability for voice chat. I'm going to turn it on, and hopefully this will work. Hello, pretty lady. Can you hear me? I'm not hearing you. Can you try talking, Desi? So this is one of the places that she... Now, Eloise is a brilliant builder in Second Life. She also is hearing impaired. So voice does not work for her. Now, she's being a little sarcastic here. So she's going to need to come back. Desi's voice wasn't working, so sometimes she has to quit Second Life to... It's like rebooting your computer. Sometimes it just works. So a lot of times your communication may be in chat, and especially for someone who is not going to be able to hear. Can you hear me, Desi? Can you talk? I need a talking demo. And you see, as people are... Can you speak a little softer? Hi.
Can you say hi to me?
Hi.
Now, my audience here is very new to Second Life. If you could, you know, try to sell them on its benefits in about three sentences, what would you say?
In Second Life, I'm able to do things that I am not able to do in a traditional online course or in a course management system like Blackboard, Angular, or Moodle. Second Life allows for students to become owners of content, and they become the content creators. And they can't produce in other formats, even with podcasting. Video podcasting, the students become owners, but they truly are able to create here, and it's overwhelmingly positive for the student. And the retention 10 years out, not just, you know, retention to your college, but retention of the material 10 years out, I believe will be a lot stronger than what we can do now.
Desiree and Eloise do so well as they create these extremely interactive, constructivist environments for the students. There are places you go into Second Life where people are, you know, showing PowerPoints and trying to do classes in here. They're doing real hands-on activities, and that's why I like to highlight their work. Part of Second Life is that we play and we have fun. All right, so her students actually wrote the content that have been built into this interactive environment. Awesome. I love you guys. Thank you. That was an extremely quick demo. In Second Life, you never know exactly what's going to happen or what's going to work. Her real name is Beth Ritter Guth. I've actually never met her before, but I've seen her picture. She's not quite as attractive as that, but she's a lovely lady. And she's a lot of fun. We kind of became friends in Second Life because we're both incredibly sarcastic. Just to let you know, there's a lot of things going on now with Second Life in Australia right now. Sean Fitzgerald and Joe Kay in New South Wales have this incredible, this is the best education resource anywhere, not just in Australia. Their Second Life in Education Wiki that has resources for teachers, but they've got this great, the educational uses of Second Life. They have about 20, 30 case examples how Second Life is being used in various disciplines, subject areas. They're doing online PD activities all the time, so I encourage you to stay in tune with them. Just about Second Life in Australia from SLOZ. Kim Flintoff, who's actually in Perth, I was hoping to connect up with him. He's doing some great stuff with drama and role play in Second Life, and he has a new area set up. But he's also running this new kind of community for Second Life educators and researchers, so I encourage you to check out that one. So that's Second Life. That's one of them, secondlife.com. You can go there. As Beth said, you can create an account. It doesn't cost anything. You create an account on the site. You download the client. You log in. You go to this place called Help Island or Orientation Island. It's where all new people go. And you're there with a whole bunch of new people. And they have this basic orientation where they teach you how to walk, how to turn around, how to change your hair, I mean the basics. And then they try to move you out into the real world. Everybody who creates an account in Second Life goes there. So there's a lot of weirdos there, to be honest. And for a lot of people, they lose a lot of people entering Second Life because it's a disconcerting experience. So recently, Second Life has enabled organizations like Mind to create our own web form to create Second Life accounts. And we are sending people to a custom orientation island that we've designed that is geared specifically for educators. So the orientation is written around an educational mindset. There's educational resources, and hopefully a reason to come back to learn more. It's a beautiful place. It was actually in this picture here. Go back a little bit. Ooh. It's modeled after neighborhoods in San Francisco because that's where Linden Labs and the company that created it is from San Francisco. An advanced orientation down the middle there is the Mission District. Over here is where we're going to have a lot of educational resources, stuff for pedagogy and workshops, and that's modeled after some of the buildings at Stanford and Berkeley. And then way over here is sort of a fisherman's wharf, and it's called the Pier Culture, P-I-E-R. And they're going to teach you about all sort of the innuendos and the language of Second Life, where you learn about griefing and gray goo and all. You hear about these things in Second Life, you don't know what they are. It's helped to help you pick up on some of the culture. And then a few other areas, and there's even a Golden Gate Bridge. You can walk across and go see the art. Our builders had a lot of fun with that one. They went way over the top, but they're very talented. So, yeah, there's Second Life, but there are a lot more of these virtual worlds. Second Life is just one piece of the pie. And even these ones popping up are not all the ones that are out there. So I'm not even going to begin to try to explain all these. I don't even know a lot of them. I've only been in a few of them. But it's just to give you an idea that if you hear a lot about Second Life, it's not the whole thing out there. A couple of them are geared towards kids. City Pixel is one. I think I have a screen of that to show you. But first of all, a lot of these are about creating an avatar. Are you familiar with the word avatar? It's basically a representation of yourself in the second world. It's how you choose to do that. And sometimes it's just based upon how you want to look. And sometimes you get to pick from a limited set of features. In Second Life, you can do full customization. Angela Thomas is a researcher at University of Sydney. She's done some magnificent work studying and researching intersections of identity and avatars in virtual spaces. And we work a lot with Angela. She's very fantastic. The City Pixel is a web-based one. It's kind of like that Habbo Hotel. It's 2.5D. And you go in there, and it's like a little city. And you can navigate around, and you can create a character. Unfortunately, you can just pick, like, you have about 10 characters to choose from. And then you can pick out an empty office and set up a cubicle. And you can pick up an empty apartment, and you get to put all these little things in your apartment. And then you walk around and you make friends, etc. I don't know exactly what else you do in this environment, but people go there, and it's a little bit playful. I really don't think, or I'm suggesting it has necessarily a educational perspective, but just want to give you sort of a sense of what some of the different environments are like. Again, a little bit more fun with the avatars and what happens to them. And this one I'm going to show you what's called machinima, which is a word that comes from the ability in these virtual worlds, because they're three-dimensional, and you have a virtual camera that you can move around. You can actually create video within these virtual worlds. So machinima is a new form of video that is primarily created by filming in these virtual worlds, they're the set and the stage. Sometimes they have a little bit of post-production. But this is kind of a fun little movie from World of Warcraft and kind of what happens to someone who is a noob. That is short for newbie, someone new to the game. There's a language to all this, and World of Warcraft has more than its share of language. But this is kind of fun. In Second Life, interesting little tidbit. When an avatar first comes into the world and it's created, it's a woman first. It was a woman who actually worked on that part of the system. So a lot of times when your system is slow, and if a male avatar first lands, you'll actually see it first form as a woman, and then it'll take its right shape as its parts come in. That's known, there's a name for that. It's known as being Ruthed, okay? So there's some irony there for the women. That is actually me. So in this virtual world, it's so crude. There's only one kind of avatar you can create at this time. So everybody looks the same. And if all fails, I can spin around. And I haven't done much here, but I've put up my own sign. And it's a little bit sluggish because, again, it's running basically three operating systems on my computer, but it would be much faster on a standalone PC or on a network system. But there's a lot of power here because you're going to be able to do a lot of things that you can't do in Second Life. There's age restrictions in Second Life. You can't mix people who are under 18 and older 18 in Second Life. And you just have to deal with all the hassles of, for some institutions, of being able to run and install kind of technology. So this is definitely stuff that's coming on the horizon in terms of a lot more options for virtual worlds. And it may be something that perhaps is more viable in Western Australia, where you have some of your network challenges. The same way that you dealt with network challenges of intensive multimedia, you send things out on CD-ROM. So maybe you'll be sending out some virtual worlds to people on CD-ROM. So with that, I'm going to leave Baby Alan, and I'm going to shut down my virtual world. Say goodnight, virtual world. So we've gotten to the end of the road here, or maybe we're at the beginning. I know this is incredibly fast. Some of you probably have whiplash. There's a lot to be said for virtual world.
His slides and all the links for this presentation can be found on his wiki, cogdogroo.wikispaces.com.